Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Good morning, Jesus 911, Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Two-man car. My name is Ruben Alba. My partner is Jess Romero. And we are here to bring you the news, Catholic style. And welcome, Jesse, to Tuesday and Holy Week.
Yep, the week that changed the world, Ruben. And yep, I'm 10-8. And this is a week of tremendous graces as we look forward to the great sacred Triduum. And again, this is the week that changed the world. We got a good show today.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We're going to talk about a slain police officer in Boulder, Colorado, that was killed during this mass shooting in over in Colorado. And you want to start off, Jess?
Let me just mention something, Ruben. I think more cops have been killed in the last year, in the last 12 months, than any other period in my lifetime. I was talking to my sons the other day. They're giving me the data on all the police that have been shot and killed. It's over the top, Ruben. It's never been this bad ever in my 59 years here on planet Earth. I just pray for our young officers out there, male and female. It takes a lot of courage to put on a uniform, put on a gun belt, yes, and patrol the streets today.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ruben, so the father of the Colorado police officer who was killed in the line of duty during a mass shooting in a Boulder supermarket this week said his son would be deeply offended by largely Democratic-led proposals to push gun control. His Homer Talley, who is the father of Eric Talley, rest in peace. Let's pray for him in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Eternal rest grant unto Eric Talley, O Lord, and let your perpetual light shine upon him. May the soul of Eric Talley, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. He said, my son would have been deeply offended to know his death would be used to promote gun control. Before he was an officer, he enjoyed shooting. And the father said in an interview, to take away that freedom completely is something I am against and my son is against. Eric Talley worked at the Boulder Police Department for 11 years. He was killed on March 22nd when a shooter identified by police as Ahmad Al-Aliwi Alisa, and by the way, he was a ISIS sympathizer. He opened fire at a King's Supers market, and 9 other people were killed, and Alisa was charged with 10 counts of murder before a judge. On March 25th, he ordered that he be held without bail. I also saw that they had a Latin mass for the officer. The funeral was a Tridentine mass. And I've also been told by other friends that he was a member of the FSSP parish out in his area. He's a father of 7 kids. He was a practicing Catholic. He was a serious Catholic. In fact, other cops that worked for him knew him as a young man of faith.
Wow. Yeah, Jess, we talked about this last week after it happened. And, what's interesting is that in the shooting previous to this, the one that got a lot of headlines over in, I believe it was in Georgia, where the guy went in and killed 6 Asians in a massage parlors, and so now you had a war. Now the media was saying, "Oh, we have a war on Asians." Well, every one of these people here were white, but I didn't hear that happen. That wasn't called out here. That a Muslim individual killed 10 white people, and it kind of coincides with the bombing that's going on in Syria that we're not really hearing about. But he was from Syria himself. Unfortunately, the powers to be have not found any connection to Islamic terrorism. So I don't know how hard they're looking, but
they don't want to find any connection to it.
Of course. You know why, Jess? Well, the previous administration had no domestic incidents of terrorism on our soil here, and in less than 100 days, they've already got one here. So, this is going to be the straw that broke the camel's back, because right after this happened, you have Biden says, He says, I don't need to wait another minute, let alone an hour, to take common sense steps that will save lives in the future, Biden said this week. It should not be a partisan issue. This is an American issue, he said. It will save lives, American lives. We have to act. And later, House Press Secretary Jen Psaki suggested to reporters that Biden could issue an executive order related to gun control, although she didn't specify any details. And over in Congress here, you have a guy making this statement. I absolutely believe that in this country, if you are 18 years of age, you should not be able to buy a rifle. I support a law that takes that right away. So, you know, right away you think, is that Chuck Schumer? Is that Nancy Pelosi? You know, uttered that this is it's a disgusting statement on the floor of Congress while debating gun control bills recently. If you guessed it was them, it would be incorrect. But this little gem of tyrannical stupidity was uttered by the backstabbing Florida Republican Senator Marco Rubio.
Wow.
Rubio now is doing everything that he can to advance a S-292, his own bill that uses your tax dollars as incentives or bribes to any state legislature that passes the red flag gun seizures. And he says Rubio supports making it a crime for your 20-year-old son who just returned from deployment in the military to buy an AR-15. Rubio is open to making it a crime for your 20-year-old daughter to have more than 10 rounds in your pistol when you're out of town on business, leaving her vulnerable to a violent home invader. And now Rubio is pushing red flag gun seizure laws on all of us. After the election, Nancy Pelosi rammed H.R. 8, Joe Biden's national gun registry bill, through the House in 1 week flat. And that bill is in the U.S. Senate now. And then you had the other one, Dianne Feinstein's assault weapons ban. It's a major threat to the Second Amendment. And we'll be keeping and this association I get mail from the it's called the American Firearms Association. They said that they're going to keep us abreast on what's happening with that bill. They're coming at us from all angles and from, you know, people who you wouldn't expect. But the usual players are still in there. And, you know, it's a shame that this bill that Rubio's pushing, it's going to make it if somebody just simply makes an allegation against you without any facts, before you've even been arrested or convicted of crime, they allow liberal judges to order the confiscation of your firearms. It's, you know, shredding your due process. And oftentimes it results in a lifetime gun ban. So we know this is all part of the Marxist agenda. So,
oh, yeah. Bingo.
We have
just nailed it.
Yeah. We have to push back on them. And the senator from South Carolina, what's his name? Lindsey Graham. He's giving us hope. He's saying that he doesn't think that they're going to get the votes in the Senate on this bill. And in fact, those Democrats that are in red states, they would be cutting their own throat if they voted for it, because they're just happen to be Democrats in a red state, and they would probably risk re-election.
So, Ruben, I'll tell you this is what's scary. If the citizens, if our guns are taken away, the only people that would be armed is the government.
Oh, and the crooks. The criminals are sticking at them.
Yeah, the government and the crooks. Yeah, good point. Again, the fact is, what we don't need gun control. We need self-control. Where does self-control come from? It's in the Bible. It's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. When you're a person of faith, you follow Jesus Christ and live in a state of grace, God, the Holy Spirit, gives you self-control. But as we keep turning more and more into secular humanists and atheism, there are no restraints. There are no moral restraints. It's basically do as you will. If somebody gives you a dirty look, you know, punch them in the nose. And so the fact is, this thing, Ruben, reminds me of some of the lessons some of the hypocrisies that I see in our government. President Obama, when he was president, he signed a law that gave him and all presidents Secret Service protection for life. Before that, under the Clinton administration, former presidents had a security detail for 10 years. And so it's funny, all these government officials, they sure like walking around
yep.
with people strapping guns around them. But for the rest of us, not so much.
Exactly, Jesse.
Yep. Yep.
That's a shame. So we're going to see how this plays out, and you can write to your congressman and let's push back on this because, we can't give our rights away like that. That's just, you know, that's one right, and then the next thing you know, it's they're coming after our religious liberty, and you know, we already saw that the there's no freedom of the press. Biden's team is keeping the press out of the border to show what's going on there. And they're just going along with it.
Yep. Not only that, Ruben, even people of faith, patriots and conservatives have to watch what we say on some of these tech medias because a word will trigger them to shut down the program right as we say certain words.
Okay, why don't you give the disclaimer here what we're going to do here.
In the next segment, Archbishop Vigano wrote a letter that is one of the most powerful letters I've ever seen. He talks about the Great Reset, what we're doing right now. And so the next letter, we can't say the V word. So we'll be calling it the jab. Mm-hmm. So when we say the jab, so we don't get canceled by big tech, that means the V word.
Jesse, I'd rather get hit with a Larry Holmes straight jab in his prime than get hit with this thing. They're going to have to strap me down. And
same here.
All right.
Yep.
We're into the first segment. We're going to come back and talk about Archbishop Vigano's phenomenal letter to us. Stay tuned. Don't change that dial.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, two-man car, and we are 10-8. We are giving you some Catholic intel, and one of our favorite archbishops here, if not the favorite, Archbishop Vigano, who's been a prophet for our times, and he speaks with such clarity. He speaks preconciliar type conversations here, Jess. His writings.
Yeah, he speaks like a Catholic, Ruben. Yeah. So, I mean, come on. He speaks like a Catholic bishop. That's what he speaks like. That's my take.
That's what it's supposed to sound like.
Yep. So there's an article called Archbishop Vigano on Truth Over Fear. C-19. Oh, we can say that word. Yeah, okay. COVID-19. The jab. And the Great Reset. And here's what he says. It's so good. We'll make comments as we go piece by piece. He says, talking about what we have learned so far about the pseudo pandemic, gives us the picture of a disturbing reality and of an even more, disturbing criminal conspiracy hatched by misguided minds. Powerful six words. This is what we're living right now. A disturbing criminal conspiracy hatched by misguided minds. He says, this reality, however, is not taken into consideration by those, now this is another powerful sentence, hypnotized by media indoctrination, persisting considering a serious seasonal influenza as a pandemic scourge, known treatment as ineffective, and the so-called jab that are admittedly useless and harmful as nothing short of miraculous. What jumps out at me is, again, he's talking about this hypnotized, most people are hypnotized by media indoctrination and the fact that the jab has known to be useless, maybe even harmful. He says, the reputation of pharmaceutical companies. We know that the big pharma giants, AstraZeneca, Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, not only have not followed the ordinary protocols for drug testing, here it is, look at this sentence, but they have a track record of a long history of condemnations for having previously caused grave damage to the population. Wow. Distributing the jab that have been revealed to cause disabling diseases. I don't know anybody right now, Ruben, that would be that forthright. Not even a politician right now being that forthright about the times we live in right now and about the jab.
I think you're right, Jess.
This is more. Yeah. This is about as morally clear as you can get.
Yeah. So he and he goes on to talk about the conflict of interest. He says, we know that macroscopic conflicts of interest exist between the pharmaceutical companies and the bodies responsible for their control. In many cases, employees of these companies have passed through the entities which must approve and authorize the use of the drugs. And so it's difficult to imagine that they, who often continue to have professional ties to big pharma, would have the freedom to make a fair and prudent assessment. In the case of AstraZeneca in Europe, that the obvious harmfulness of the so-called jab, which has led some nations to suspend its distribution, it's not considered a sufficient reason by the EMA, European Medicines Agency, to prohibit its adoption, because apparently they're back using that AstraZeneca over in Europe. The recent findings about serious side effects have been designed to exclude the majority of cases and, above all, to deliberately ignore the causal relationships between inoculation with the vaccine and its short or long-term side effects. And you read about some cases where people said, hey, my relative was relatively healthy, had the jab, both jabs, and next thing you know, they're rushed to the hospital and they've died. And so it's always played off as, oh, it was something else. It wasn't related to the jab. It was some other cause. They downplay the illnesses there. Some people are like bedridden. You know, I was just talking to an attorney the other day, and she had both jabs, and she ended up being in bed for 3 days with severe body aches, and she goes, man, I don't know if I would have taken it if I don't know this was I was going to go through that.
Too late.
Yeah. And so the immunity for side effects. This is the next topic here. We know that in defiance of any legal principle and the protection of the population, the pharmaceutical companies have demanded total immunity for damages that may arise to patients. Yeah, you're asked to sign a release form along with their informed consent. Thus, along with the scandalous profits from the sales of the vaccines, the pharmaceutical multinationals guarantee their own impunity for a criminal operation conducted with the complicity of international institutions and governments.
Unbelievable.
So Big Pharma is probably giving kickbacks to some of these governments for pushing their...
Without a doubt. And we can get sued, by the way. Even if you die as a result of our jab, can get sued. We're immune from criminal prosecution. Next paragraph says, secrecy about the contractual clauses. Everything in this paragraph is short. Everything's good here. He says, we know that the contractual terms of the agreements made by nations and by the European Union with these pharmaceutical companies are inaccessible and secret.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder why that is. Not even the parliamentarians and political representatives are allowed to see the clauses that they have had to approve inside a sealed box.
Wow.
You got to vote on it before you can see what's in it.
Oh.
Yeah. And we know that the same pharmaceutical companies not only are not taking any responsibility for the side effects, but they also declare that they do not even guarantee the effectiveness to provide immunity from the virus.
Wow.
I can't believe the world I'm living in right now, Ruben. This is a complete upside down world.
I thought they'd be having to people would be having to push back on this, but no, they're lining up by the millions, Jesse, to come take this because they're buying the Kool-Aid.
Most people are sheeple, Ruben. Most people in America are sheeple, and even around the world. Look at this next paragraph. This is very short. The Chinese origin of the virus. It says, we know that SARS-CoV-2 virus was in all probability produced in a laboratory. Here it is. We've known this for a long time, but again, if you say this, you get taken off of social media.
Mm-hmm.
With the complicity of the Chinese dictatorship, since China is one of the main financiers of the World Health Organization after the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So that, those are the two big benefactors, the CCP and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. It has been able to prevent, you know, these two organizations have been able to prevent any investigation on the origin of the virus or the early stages of its spread. What, so we know, I mean, you can go to like alternative media and find it on some of the other social platforms that allow anything to be said. But the mainline platforms, these people have stifled the information that this comes from, you know, Wuhan, Communist China.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not even allowing us to call it the Wuhan virus. And so it's interesting is that Bill, Melinda Gates, they're behind the Moderna vaccine. And he just came out and said, well, we're probably not going to get out of this till the end of 2022. His boy, Tony Fauci, who's on his board, he's been vaccinated, and yet he's still wearing two masks. So what's that tell you? You know, they're saying, well, he starts crying out that, well, there's variants, you know, didn't he know that there was going to be variants from the beginning? He's supposed to be the expert, you know?
Ruben, I think that some of these people that go on TV and they get the jab and they say, look, I got the jab. I actually think me and my wife hypothesize, and I think she's right. I think a lot of these people that probably are in the know, like him, mm-hmm. Mr. Fauci,
yeah.
I think she says they're getting a what do you call it, a placebo?
Yeah,
yeah. They're not getting the actual jab. I just don't think they are, because again, these guys are scientists. They know what's in there. They know it doesn't work. And I think that this is just a big dog and pony show when you see them roll up their sleeve and get the jab.
Yeah,
my take. That's my take.
It begs the question: if the vaccine works, then why?
The jab.
Oh, the jab. Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah, the jab.
If it works, then why are we still wearing masks? You know, and then if it doesn't work, then you know, let's. Why are we doing it? You know, so we'll see what happens with this, but.
Okay, go to the next paragraph.
We know that every nation, with very few exceptions, immediately adopted the most absurd health protocols coming from the WHO, beginning with the unfortunate decision not to treat the sick at the onset of the first symptoms and to subject them to deep ventilation once the flu syndrome degenerated into acute bilateral pneumonia. And this happened with the excusable complicity of health care personnel, from doctors to hospital staff, provoking thousands of deaths, not from COVID, as we are told, but by the mainstream media, but from an incorrect treatment. And I have to say that what they just mentioned right there about not treating them at the onset of the first symptoms. When my dad fell ill, his oxygen level fell. My niece checked on him. She's a ER head nurse over at a major hospital in Pasadena. And she scooped him up and she says, "Now I'm taking you in." Of course, you know, being the head nurse, so she's all friends with the doctors. Of course, she's going to get the best treatment. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it works. Just like when a police officer gets shot, you know, he's going to go to the front of the line. You know, we have to keep our. It's just the way it is. I'm not going to try to explain it, but you know what? He got treated with some, you know, antibodies and some other stuff that, you know, caused it to disseminate. And he was able to go home in a few days, still had an air tank with him. And, you know, in case he needed it, and he needed it for a while. And then now he's better. He's looking really strong and healthy. And it's because they treated him right away. But I have other friends that, like I said, I've been to several funerals and they were put on the ventilator and they never got off. You know, it was they were in there for over a month and a half.
Unbelievable.
So, yeah.
Next paragraph says delegitimization and boycott of available treatments. We also know about the furious campaign against the effectiveness of already existing treatments, from the use of hyperimmune plasma to the use of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin drugs that many doctors, despite violating the health norms that have been imposed during these months, have deemed it their duty to administer to their patients with success. I know several people out here in Phoenix that have been getting the ivermectin and the hydro, and they've all healed quick, yeah, immediately. So, and it's not difficult to understand that the low cost of treatments, the fact that many of them are not subject to patents, and above all, their immediate effectiveness in treatment represent for big pharma companies and their accomplices a more than sufficient reason to oppose and discredit them, even to the point of banning their use. Yeah, because there's no big money to make on hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, but there is big money to make on the jab from those other companies.
I think we went over the break, but we're just going to keep going until our engineer tells us. But anyway, there was a doctor by the name of Dr. Simone Gold, and she gained notoriety for spreading information about the pandemic. When you read any articles, they call it misinformation. Last July, she led a press conference in front of the Supreme Court, if you remember that, in which she and other members of the America's frontline doctors, they touted the benefits of the hydroxychloroquine, and they criticized restrictive lockdowns. And then she also attempted to sow fear of the COVID-19 jab, and then unfortunately, she was arrested by the feds for entering the Capitol on July 6th. So she kind of shot her credibility down. But these are doctors that frontline doctors that were saying we're treating our patients with this and this and this and it's working, and yet she got fired by her own hospital because she wasn't following the procedure with these medicines, even though her patients were being successfully treated. And that's just one doctor. There's many others that came across and said the same thing. So they're, it just leaves you questioning, well, why are they hiding all these things? Why do they, because these are low cost, medicines and, you know, it doesn't fit the narrative.
That's right.
Okay, the next one.
A project planned for years.
Yes.
We know that in order to conduct this criminal operation, since we must speak of a crime against God and humanity, not of a mere unfortunate fate. Look what he says here, Archbishop Vigano. This is good. It was necessary to have years of planning conducted systematically in order to weaken national pandemic plans, drastically reduce the number of beds in hospitals and intensive care units, create a mass of blind, deaf, and dumb employees, no longer doctors, who place their own safety in the workplace ahead of their duty to cure the sick. The Hippocratic Oath was violated in the name of profit for the pharmaceutical companies and the pursuit of a social engineering problem. Yep, you put secular humanists together and you put the love of money together, and this is what you have, Ruben, a blueprint for disaster. Yep.
And, okay, the involvement of the health system. You know, we know that in order to obtain the complicity of doctors and scientists, not only has recourse been made to the system of corruption and conflicts of interest that has existed for decades, but also to the distribution of prizes and cash bonuses. To give an example, in Italy, a specialist doctor receives €60 per hour to administer the jab in the jab centers. General practitioners are given incentives for every patient they have jabbed. A bed in intensive care is paid about €3,000 per day by the I can't even believe I'm reading this. National Health Service. It is evident that neither general practitioners nor hospital personnel nor regional health agencies have any interest in depriving themselves of huge revenues after public health has been demolished for the last decade in the name of cuts to waste imposed by the European Union. Jesse, remember they were putting the cause of death as a COVID when a guy'd come in on a traffic collision or something, a traffic accident, and because they were getting, I believe it was $16,000 to make it be a COVID death.
Yeah, for federal money, right?
They got federal money for putting him on a ventilator as well. Anyway, to give an idea, Italy has received 72 invitations from Brussels to close all the small hospitals that today, under the pretext of the pandemic, have been reopened and financed with funds that the EU allocates on loan with constraints and conditionalities that in other moments would have been judged unacceptable. Yet these hospitals worked well, making it possible to offer widespread service to citizens, and they were able to avoid the spread of the disease. So
once again, follow the money.
Everybody's
follow.
Yep.
The love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy 6:10.
It's no longer about a medicine and the Hippocratic Oath and
no, Reuben, that's out the window.
Yeah.
And if anybody thinks, oh no, man, medicine is so pure and pristine and it's so moral. There are some people that work there, nurses, doctors, that are people of faith and moral. But I'm saying the system that they're working under now is very corrupt and is fueled by money and is fueled by politics.
Yeah, I like to think that the majority of them are honest, hardworking people that really want care about the patients. But the supervisors, the management that's taking the money, they're the ones who are forcing the hand of these real heroes in the...
Oh, Ruben, yeah, Ruben, I've had doctor friends of mine, a good Catholic, and they say, oh, yeah, we have these meetings on, you know, like Monday mornings and stuff, and we're here with the executive of the hospital, and they're just pushing as they're breathing down our neck. Okay, we need more more COVID deaths. Anything, come on, nobody's going to question. You guys are doctors. We need more money. Let's go. It's like a big, wow. like a pep rally.
Shh.
These are Catholic doctor friends of mine. They're saying, it is awful what we're under right now. Wow. Because, again, there's a conflict. When you're a man of faith, you're saying, wait a minute, I can't be lying on people's death certificates just because I get, you know, this guy's breathing down my neck. Because that's their boss. The hospital administrator is the boss.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, Ruben, there's politics right now. It's all over the world of medicine, and that's too bad.
Yeah. Hey, just so our listeners know, we are having some technical difficulties. That's why you see the screen is frozen. We went past the break. We're just going to keep on going, just so.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, the fundamental role of the media. Archbishop Vigano writes, look at this first two sentences. It's very powerful.
Yeah.
We know that nations have granted funding to the media as a contribution to information on COVID. In Italy, the Giuseppe Conte government allocated large amounts so that the national information system would give one aligned version of the pandemic, and it censored any voice of dissent. The dissemination of data on the infections and deaths has been grossly manipulated, suggesting that every person with a positive test result should be considered sick, even though the asymptomatic are not contagious, by the very admission of the World Health Organization and the analogous bodies in the United States, Canada, Australia, etc. And alongside these government fundings, there it is. Look at this sentence. In many cases, the conflict of interest with the pharmaceutical companies has also been able to interfere with the choices of broadcasters and newspapers. On the one hand, because Big Pharma represents one of the principal buyers of advertising space. And on the other hand, because it is present on the board of directors of information companies. It is difficult to believe that the editor of a newspaper, even if persuaded that the pandemic is a fraud, would dare to go against the CEO or deprive the newspaper of the advertising profits from Pfizer or Johnson and Johnson.
Wow.
Once again, Ruben, all of this has to do with a lot of people are getting filthy rich as a result of this COVID-19.
Exactly. And, you know, Bill Gates, he's probably the one that's getting the most, you know, because he's pushing that vaccine. That's his vaccine. He stepped down from Microsoft so he can continue jabbing as many people as he can and trying to prolong this. It's the reason why they hated the last president, just because he first of all he was pointing out what Big Pharma's corruptness, and then he got them the vaccine that quick. They never thought, you know, that could happen. That kind of put a monkey wrench in their system. They thought they could drag this out, you know, indefinitely. And then that's why they're, in my estimation, is that they're saying, okay, well, no, well, yeah, you got the vaccine, but you're still susceptible to it. And, you know, there's other strains and variants. And so, like I said earlier, I think I said the last time, one of my wife's team members on her team, the sheriff's department, he's got COVID now, and he's had the vaccine. So it just goes to show you. But what we haven't seen is we have not seen anybody who has died as a result of having the vaccine and getting one of these variants, you know. So why they're still pushing this need for masking and the social distancing, And there, you, just yesterday, I think it was, or 2 days ago, Biden was saying that we need to, he's asking all the governors to go back to, you know, mandatory masks. Yeah, I don't know if you heard that.
Unbelievable.
They're trying to push us back to try to drag this along because that's all part of the reset. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Ruben, also, former President Trump, I feel bad because, again, he was just surrounded by a lot of bad people. That's just now we really know how many bad people were around him from the deep state. Mm-hmm. And I think he was a victim of malpractice by medical advisors like Fauci. And in other words, so he couldn't argue with them. They just said, hey, we need to get a vaccine. So, okay, let's, you know, he came up with this, what's it called, you know, this fast-track vaccine and stuff. Again, he was just trying to follow the medical advisors that were in place already. But he was a victim of bad medical advisors.
Yeah. And he Trump had also said that he was going to get rid of Fauci once he got reelected. And fortunately, that didn't happen. But he... And so he's still in place, but he's going to be 81 years old this year. I think Michael Matt and the Remnant, he pointed out, does he have to go back for courses, new courses, updates and stuff like that? Or is it just because he's basing it on his long history of that 81 years old? If they said
he graduated like 50 years ago or 60 years ago from the medical school.
Yeah, so you let's say, you know, you got on a plane. Michael Matt says, you get on a plane, the pilot says, yeah, I'm turning 81, you know, we're going to fly over the, you know, to Singapore, and you'd get off the plane, you know, you kind of, this is what we're listening to, you know, someone who should already be drinking Mai Tais on the beach and relaxing now. And
yeah. And not only that, so when did you learn how to fly planes? Oh, 1932.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, yeah. You're going to fly over from here to Singapore? Maybe I should, maybe I'll take the next flight.
Okay, next paragraph is this, cui prodest protest. Who benefits is what it says. We also know that the primary beneficiaries of the pandemic are in economic terms, the users of the banks who have the power to keep ideologically aligned companies afloat and at the same time to make small businesses fail if they are an annoying obstacle to the establishment of the New World Order. These small companies spread above all across the old continent, and especially in Italy, constitute the social fabric and economic identity of many of the nations. Their widespread diffusion disturbs the multinationals of large distribution from Amazon to Just Eat, which during the period of the lockdowns have increased their profits in a scandalous way to the detriment of normal commercial activities, because that book that we used to buy at the corner bookstore must now be ordered online, along with lunch, printer toner, and dishwasher detergent. This new economy imposed itself with arrogance in just a few weeks last year, thanks to the simultaneous closing of stores and the stay-at-home orders that were imposed on citizens.
Wow, that's interesting.
You had to buy your toilet paper online. You know, the store shelves were ransacked, and it looked like something out of the Ten Commandments, that the locusts came in and just cleaned out the shelves at the stores, and so, you know, everything that was the online businesses, they flourished. These yes. guys that were making money, part time money with Uber Eats and all these things that where you they can shop for you, you know. I forget what the name of that thing, that gig is. That's a side hustle that people are making money off of because people weren't going out of their house. And so,
yeah, Ruben, there's one paragraph here that says about the media of social media responsibility. I won't mention the names. I don't want to get this. I don't want to get the show thrown out. But it says, we know that in addition to the complicity of the media, the mainstream media, the infernal machine of social media. And Archbishop Vigano goes to names them, mm-hmm. has mobilized a brazen and scandalous censorship operation. Don't we know that? Yeah. To the point of erasing the profiles of eminent scientists mm-hmm. and established journalists for the sole reason that they do not obey the diktats of the COVID narrative. Even in this case, it's not surprising to discover the economic and kinship relations existing between these colossal multinationals, which over time have become the owners of information, because that's a scary word, the owners of information and the arbiters of who has the right to speech and who does not. Ruben, I never thought, I mean, you read about this in novels, you know, like 1984 and Brave New World, that, you know, one day government, big brother government would become so dictatorial that they'll control thoughts and speech. I just thought that was, oh, this is a good read, you know, this is a good novel. We're here, Ruben.
Yeah.
We are here. 1984, Brave New World, some of these other books of dystopian societies. It's here in America right now.
Yeah, it's stuff you see in a third world country. I can't even. I believe that we're seeing it here, that the social media giants have so much power. They influenced the election, you know, and they have. It's kind of like the pharmaceutical companies. They're not going to be held liable. You know, they've given immunity. You know, so that's what social media was it that 230 that President Trump was trying to get them regulated, and they can't get sued, you know, so they go with impunity. That's it. So let's talk.
Ruben, these are Luciferian companies. That's the best way I could put it.
Let's talk about education. We know that the need to indoctrinate the young generations could not exclude scholastic and university instructions from this plan, which today is given a via distance learning with very grave psychological consequences for children and young people. This operation today lays the foundation for ensuring that one day the teaching offered via the internet can be unified, deciding which teachers are allowed to give lessons and what they should say. And I will not be surprised if soon this aligned form of education soon includes an increasingly small number of teachers. This gets scary here. One single history professor for all students of the nation with a program that is narrowly defined and controlled. This is not a far-off reality when every student is obliged to connect online and can no longer use a teacher at his own school who has been forced into retirement or removed from teaching because he does not comply with the orders of power. So what they're saying is that they're going to broadcast one classroom, one teacher spewing out the party line, and you're going to have to buy it hook, line, and sinker. And so it goes on to say, nor can we be surprised if the new teachers are holograms that elaborate algorithms or disturbing artificial intelligences that indoctrinate millions of young people into gender theory, LGBT doctrine, and all the moral aberrations that we have anticipated in recent years. Wow.
I hope he's wrong. I hope Archbishop Vigano is wrong.
But they already have these holograms. They already have these, artificial intelligence. You can go online and see talks from these, you know, robots and things of that nature. So it's not out of the realm of possibility, but I really do hope he's wrong. We can't let this happen to our kids.
He talks about the promoters of the pandemic. He says, we know who are the theorists of the pandemic, from Bill Gates to George Soros, in a network of complicity of interest so vast and organized that any measure of opposition is practically impossible. Along with them, we find the most disturbing repertoire of the so-called philanthropic organizations and lobbies of power, like the World Economic Forum with Klaus Schwab, the World Health Organization, and all of its national branches, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg Group, the Council for Inclusive Capitalism, headed by Lady Lynn Forrester de Rothschild, under the spiritual direction of Bergoglio, and more generally, the phalanx of multinationals, banks, and groups of power that belong to this dome of conspirators. Archbishop Vigano says, do not be surprised if, in perfect coherence with their plans, the sects, S-E-S-E-C-T-S, and world Satanist movements also mobilize, beginning with the Church of Satan, that exalts abortion as a propitiatory ritual for the end of the pandemic, exactly as Big Pharma requires pseudo-vaccine, pseudo-jabs produced with aborted fetuses. The last thing is scary, Ruben. He's saying that these Satanists are seeing that everything is already lined up in place. And what could end up happening is as a result of all these things that are being put in place by all these Luciferian companies and people, this is going to exalt the abortion industry. There's going to be more abortions. And because we're going to need more fetal cells for the jabs. And what do these abortions do? Again, this is the black mass for Satanists.
Yeah.
He calls it the propitiatory ritual. In other words, they'll be telling these big Luciferian companies, hey, we need more abortions, because this is the way we're going to get more more jabs out there, more jabs.
What's very disturbing is that, our upper management here, our leaders in the church, starting with the Holy Father, are behind all this, the one world order and the keeping the
jab,
keeping the jab going. But this is and I think, I don't know if it's in this story, but I did read that Bill Gates has an account now at the Vatican Bank. So
yeah, it's in this. It's a little bit later on.
All right. Subjugation of the Catholic hierarchy. So
it's very sad, right here. Very sad.
Finally, we know that this is certainly the most shocking aspect, that part of the Catholic hierarchy is also present in this plan, in which Jorge Mario Bergoglio, I noticed that Archbishop Vigano never calls him the Holy Father, never calls him the Pope. He finds an obedient preacher of the pandemic narrative and the primary sponsor of the vaccine of the jabs, who has not hesitated to define them as a moral duty, despite the very serious ethical and religious concerns which they raise. Bergoglio even went to the point of having himself interviewed by the Vaticanist Domenico Agasso in a conversation that contained in a book called Dio e il Mondo Che Verrà, to recommend to the masses the administration of the gene serum, and to furnish an authoritative and unfortunate endorsement of the ideology of globalism. And since March 2020, the Holy See has shown itself to be perfectly aligned with the globalist plan by ordering the closure of churches and the suspension of the celebration and the administration of the sacraments. I understand that Italy, the churches are going to be closed for Easter.
Wow.
That's what I heard. So if this, I could be wrong, but that's, unless they've changed it since the last few weeks ago. If this had not really happened, and instead a strong condemnation of this anti-human, anti-Christic project had occurred, the highest levels of the church would have had a difficult time accepting subjecting the multitudes to absurd limitations on their natural freedoms in the name of not only an ideological enslavement, but obviously also economic and social. He says, let's not forget that as a counterpart to the loss of the faithful in the churches and the resulting drastic reduction of the offerings for the bishops' conferences, there must necessarily be an alternative form of financing that will not take us long to discover. I think that neither Communist China nor the Rothschilds nor Bill and Melinda Gates, who, as I learned from an authoritative source, have opened an account at IOR, the Vatican Bank, nor the network of self-styled democratic parties, the international left, the obedient to the globalist ideology, are foreign to this operation. On the other hand, the Great Reset envisages the establishment of a universal religion, that it is ecumenical, ecological, and Malthusian, which sees in Bergoglio its natural leader, as was recently recognized by the Masonry. The adoration of the Pachamama in the Vatican, the Abu Dhabi Agreement, the encyclical Fratelli Tutti, and the upcoming Sabbath of Astani all points in this direction, completing the inexorable dissolutive process of the Church that began with the Second Vatican Council. What he's saying is that, man, the Vatican is pushing all these things and lining these things up, so these big globalists like the Rothschilds, the Gates, they've got the man to put a face on it, so Catholics can line up and say, oh yeah, Christians say, oh, this must be okay then, if the leader of the Catholic Church is behind it. So this is really scary, Jesse.
Yeah. Well, Ruben, I'm just going to tell people to go and get this article and read it on their own, because it's got a lot of meat and potatoes in it. What does this tell us? It tells us we got to basically live in a state of grace. And there's no time to play around with your Catholic faith. Go read this article, Vigano on Fear Over Truth. This is Jesus 911. This is a wrap. Ruben Nava, Jesse Romero. We'll see you next Christ channel. Again, pray rosary every day. Read your Bible and go to Mass and often if possible and live in a state of grace. We're 10-7. We're out, Ruben.
Yeah, we are out. Stay close to the sacraments, my friends. And